Bible has sex in it, so that's why we are going to be talking about that. And today we will look at a biblical view on sex. And my intention is not to force something on you, but to show you how Christian understanding of sex is much different than our culture's view on sex. Amen? In 1990, I moved to United States from Ukraine. And when I moved to Ukraine, United States of America didn't adjust to Ukrainian values and the way we did things there. I had to adjust to the values of United States, to the traffic laws. You all drive differently here than they did there. Okay, yes, drive better. Not as many potholes. You want to talk about potholes in Ukraine? Your whole car can go in. there was difference in electrical current. In Europe, Eastern Europe, it's 240, I believe. In United States, it's 120. So it was different. We had to adjust to free speech. Because it was different, freedom of religion and practicing your faith. I didn't have to look behind my back in a service if there was going to be KGB standing there and writing the names. Because that's what happened in the churches of Ukraine. And some, we call them seasonal Christians, when they would see a KGB agent, they would jump out of the windows. So they wouldn't get written up. But it was different. It was, and I had to adjust to the life here and how people do life here and how they live here. And see, it's the same thing with Christianity. When you become a believer, you become a part of a kingdom of God. And that kingdom is different than the kingdom of this world. And the values of that kingdom is different than the kingdom of this world. And so, one thing about God is He doesn't adjust to us and our values and what we think is right. He asks us to come higher and adjust to Him. In England, they drive on the right side of the car, and in the United States, we drive on the left. If somebody moves here from England, they will have a hard time finding a car that has the steering wheel on the right. One time when I was a teenager, I saw a car, a guy driving on the right side of the steering wheel. I'm like, who's driving the car? And then I looked and I'm like, oh, okay, he's got a weird car. But that's not normal. Real, yeah. Amen. And so today, my goal is not to force you and make you believe or do something or not do something. This is not a youth group message. Don't do it with an angry emoji face. God is going to kill you if you do it, okay? This is not going to be that. We're going to go a little bit deeper when we talk about sex.
Yeah, we're going to go into the why. Because we believe as a church, we have the answer to this whole subject. It's not because for the longest time, the world was telling us, don't touch the sex talk. You guys don't talk about it. We'll talk about it. You guys talk about your Christian stuff. You know, the cross, the communion. We'll teach people about sex. And church has been silent for way too long.
And because we're silent, the world went off the cliff when it comes to sex. The world made sex cheap. Mm. We made sex cheap. And that's what we're talking about.
What was that phrase you said in the first service? We made a...
I'm going to say it.
Okay.
I'm going to say it now. Our culture made sex and love making cheap. Sex has become America's drug of choice. Mm-hmm. Don't do drugs, but go ahead and have sex because it's not going to harm you.
As long as it's safe.
Pretty as long as it's safe, it's not going to harm you. Amen? Mm-hmm. Sex sells. If you look at some billboards, sex really sell. If you want to sell a hamburger at Wendy's or Hardee's, you got to put a woman so you can sell the... And guys, you probably know this. This is so annoying. You're spiritually doing good. You're on a spiritual high. You turn on your computer and somehow your antivirus protection program is not able to capture a slide. And you have a slide of a woman saying, find local singles or find married people who want to just hook up, no strings attached with you. And you're like, I was just having a great spiritual time with God, and bang. Sometimes on the roads, maybe you've heard of this website called Ashley Madison website. And let us show you what it actually says. Life is short. Have an affair.
Wow.
That's cheap. We're making sex cheap. And it's not meant to be. Mm-hmm. Okay? Sex has moved from being a fine dining to a fast food drive-thru.
Mm. Wow.
It's not meant to be fast food drive-thru.
Wow.
And all the ladies said amen.
amen.
You would think by looking at and seeing sex in our culture, you would think that sex is a Hollywood idea. But it's not. Mm. Sex is a God idea.
Wow.
God is actually present in our sexual lifestyle. Did you know that? That God is not only present when you're giving a baby, when baby is birth. God is not only present when you're eating food. God is also present when you're having sex.
Wow.
It's just sometimes he doesn't want to be there. But he's still there. See, a lot of married couples, and I'm going to break this on you. A lot of married couples, when they get married on the altar, they do that tying of a knot, you know, doing three robes, and they braid it all together into one. And they say, marriage is like a woman and a man and then Jesus.
Uh-huh.
But when it comes to sex, we're like, no, Jesus, that's not where you're supposed to be. Well, let me break it to you. He's present there as well.
Yeah.
Amen. And so the only good threesome is sex with Jesus. That's the only. I'm sorry to drop it on you, but that's biblical actually, because we read that a cord that's braided in three is not easily broken.
Yeah.
So we quote it, but when it comes to sex, oh no, remove that cord, one cord. No, he's there.
Yeah.
Bible says, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God.
Yeah. If you look at the beginning of the Bible, you guys know what the Bible is, most of you, I hope. It's the book that we live by. We believe that the Bible was written by inspiration of God. And so this is how it starts. In the beginning, God creates the world. And then he creates a man. And he is naked. Then he creates a woman. And that's in the beginning of the Bible. And she is naked. And he brings her in front of him. And Adam goes crazy. He starts singing songs and all like, woo! This is the Bible, guys. We've been listening to the world, and the world has been telling us that Jesus doesn't like sex. And no, Jesus, God created sex. He actually was the one who told us how to do it. I bet you never heard that before. But that's why we're putting the why. Because a lot of people are having a lot of casual sex without knowing why. And not experiencing the real true sex.
The world says that Christianity is anti-sex religion.
Mm-hmm.
The world says that Christianity is a killjoy to sex. But that's not true. Because the Bible is full of instances where there's sex. And also sex is a symbol of a greater spiritual heavenly thing that's going to happen someday. So God says sex is a blessing, and I want you to enjoy it to the fullest.
Yes.
And the married people said,
amen.
Amen.
Woo.
And the single ones, just wait.
Hallelujah.
But listen, single people, or maybe you've been married and you're done with that. I just want to tell you, my goal is not to tell you, stop doing it, bro. It's not with the angry face of a youth pastor. That's not what my goal is. I want to explain to you why.
And this is how.
And how. Why and how. So you will understand it. Because sometimes you come to a different culture and they do things weirdly until you find out why.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you do what you do?
Mm-hmm.
And then you understand. But once you understand it, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what our goal is today. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 30. And let's read this together. You have heard, this is Jesus, the commandment that says you must not commit adultery. What is adultery? It's sex outside of marriage. It's having sex with somebody you're not in covenant with.
Yeah.
Okay, so Jesus, see, some of us say, well, Jesus is, we're in the New Testament. The Old Testament laws do not apply to us. Well, Jesus just takes an Old Testament law, the commandment number 7 out of 10 commandments. How many of you know 10 commandments?
Mm-hmm.
This is commandment number 7. You have heard that commandment that says you must not commit adultery. And you know what Jesus does? He doesn't erase it.
Come on.
He adds to it. And watch this, verse 28. It says, but I say, anyone who ever looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart.
Wow.
Notice what Jesus does. He doesn't take it down and says, okay, that doesn't apply anymore. He makes it, he raises the standard.
The bar, yeah.
He makes it greater.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you glad you came here today? Some of you are like, man, I should have watched that online. And then let's keep going. Then he says, if your eye, and it's weird, this is something like totally crazy. If your eye, and this is Jesus, even your good eye.
The good eye.
How many of you would ever give your bad eye for $10 million?
I mean,
maybe.
How bad? How bad are we talking about? No, I'm just kidding.
But a good eye? No, you can't have my good eye.
No.
I $10 million is nothing if I can't see.
Yeah.
So watch what he says. Even if a good eye causes you to lust, gouge it out and throw it away. This is Jesus. See, our culture doesn't like this kind of Jesus. I don't know if I like this kind of Jesus sometimes. Really? He says, but what is he saying? The subject he's talking about of adultery is serious.
Yeah.
The subject of sex is serious. And you'll know why in a second. Gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for the whole body to be thrown into, don't say that word in church. No, we can say it. Hell. Hell, hell, hell. So Jesus talks about hell. Sex and hell. Wow. Don't preach that in church on Sunday. That's a private thing between two people. Well, we made a promise to you guys in the beginning that we will preach the whole truth.
Yes.
Even if we don't like it. Some things in the Bible I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible shouldn't align to me. I should align to the Bible.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Next verse. Verse 30. And if your hand, even your stronger hand, maybe a bad hand, withered hand, for $10 million, maybe. But no. But even if your stronger hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into
hell.
What is he saying? Sex is serious. Adultery is a serious matter. Maybe today you are kind of, you know, playing with adultery a little bit. Maybe you're flirting with somebody in the office or at your workplace. It's serious. If your eye is tempting you, it's better to go to heaven without an eye because you'll get a new eye than to end up in hell because you'll lose both of them there.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus made a serious statement when it came to sex. He says it's for marriage. And he says sex is to be pure. You should be pure physically and spiritually and with your heart. Meaning, in the Old Testament it says, don't commit adultery. So what a smart dude would do, he would like, I don't commit adultery. I just like fantasizing about women in my heart.
Hmm.
And Jesus says, that's the same thing. It's the same thing. And our culture says pornography, which is technically fantasizing about a woman you're not married to in your heart. Oh, it's okay. It's normal. It can help your marriage.
Oh, boy.
What a lie.
What a lie.
What a lie. And so, actually, it destroys your sex drive, young people.
Mm-hmm.
Pornography really does. We've counseled, not a lot, because this is such a sensitive and private topic, but we've had young men come and say, hey, I'm 24 years old, I'm 22 years old, and I can't get it up for my wife. Did I say that?
You did say that. In the microphone.
It's Bible.
It's true.
It's the truth. So now a 22-year-old needs Viagra. Are you crazy? I met people who are in their 20s and they lost their teeth. Why? Because of meth. Your teeth are not meant to be lost for, in most cases. I'm not talking about exceptions. There's always an exception.
Yeah.
But we're talking about generalities today. And you, your teeth are supposed to last you a long time. Mm-hmm. Talking about sex. So, who am I talking to today? I'm talking to virgins today. I'm talking today to extremely promiscuous and somewhere in between. And we're talking about those who've been sexually abused here. Mm-hmm. We're talking of those who've been abusers. We're talking today to those who struggle with same-sex attraction. We're talking to those who've acted on those same-sex attractions and on those who haven't yet acted on those same-sex attractions. We're talking to those who are confused about their sexuality. Am I a man or am I a woman?
Right.
We're talking today to those who are married and have great sex. And we're talking today to those who are married and have a horrible sex life. Every time a husband tries to touch his wife, she freezes because she's been sexually maybe abused or something like that. We're talking to those who are done with all that. I'm done with that. I've done that. I'm done with it.
Yeah.
We're talking to of those who are chronic masturbators and pornography addicts. We're talking about sex.
Yeah.
And maybe this culture told you that sex will be the drug that will satisfy you and there's no consequences. It is not true. Sex is a big deal. God created it to be enjoyed in the covenant relationship, which is marriage, and everything outside of that does not satisfy. And that's what we're talking about today. So point number one, sex is a gift of God created for covenant relationship. What do you think? How do you look at sex? Do you look at it as a covenant? And some of you, what is the word covenant? Well, there's no good word to describe English word, but Tanya said, say what? Commitment.
Close,
but commitment is not even close.
Yeah.
Covenant is such a bigger word. We'll try to explain it to you today.
Okay.
But a person has two different attitudes towards sex. You can look at sex as a consumer, or you can look at sex as a covenant goods. Okay, and let's talk about consumer way of looking at sex, because this is how our world looks at sex. It's a cheap way. And I got this help from Timothy Keller, who's an amazing thinker. Sometimes you have to listen to him three times in order to understand him, but he's just awesome. And so I want to tell you what he says about that so you would know. The consumer way is you have a relationship with the vendor. As long as you get a great deal at the great price.
Ooh.
Okay. Now, when it comes to shopping, that's a good idea.
It's a good policy.
Yeah, it's a good policy to have. If we're friends, but you're going to rip me off, I'm going to go somewhere else. But not when it comes to sex.
Well, because I'm not committed to the vendor. I'm coming in and I don't like the product, I'm going to leave. I'm not committed to the...
Yeah. Consumer way of looking at sex is I'm always looking out for a better deal. So yes, I'm dating you. I'm even living with you, but I'm always looking out for something better. That's a consumer's way of looking at things.
Wow.
So if I'm buying a truck and you tell me there's a deal here, I'll drive through some other parking lots checking out, making sure. Because if I find a better deal, even though you're my friend, I don't value the relationship, I value my money better.
Mm-hmm.
That's what also a consumer way of looking at sex. In a consumer way of looking at sex, vendor must adjust to my needs. The restaurant, the store, Walmart has to adjust to me or I'll go somewhere else.
Right, if you come to a restaurant and they cook your food and you don't like it, you can get mad at them and say, I'm not, whatever, you know, you have the right to get up and not like the food. If you go to mama's house and she cooks for you, you better like the food. You know, you see how, because you're committed to your mama. And even if you don't appreciate, you know, don't like what she cooked, you still love your mama and you don't want to hurt her feelings and you're going to eat the food. And
In a consumer way of looking at sex is my needs are more important than relationship. So, honey, if you're not meeting my needs, I'm out of here. There's somebody else who will.
Hmm.
That's how our world looks at it. Come on, guys. Isn't it true? You don't give me what I want, I'm going to go. If someone else meets my needs better than you do, then I'll go there. You adjust to me, or I am out of here. And a lot of men today are holding a lot of women in our culture hostage. One lady said, and I'm going to read it to you. She said, when we were living together, she felt like she was in a multi-year, never-ending addition to be his wife. That's how a lot of women feel today. See, women, they want commitment faster than guys. And guys, we figured it out. We can have the best of both worlds. I can have my cake and eat it too.
Oh boy.
Amen. Now, what is the covenant way? Or commitment is not even close to that word, covenant. Covenant way is that I will adjust to you because I made a promise. Relationship is more important than my needs. If in the consumer, it's what I want, you're not pleasing me. In a covenant, I'm willing to sacrifice. So for example, I've heard this said, this lady said, I got sick. Really, true story, I got sick and he left me. Because he was a consumer. She wasn't meeting his fantasies and need anymore. But in a covenant, it's not so much about me. So if you can't meet my needs for a month, well, I'm sticking around. And you could be free. You don't have to walk on eggshells. You don't have to be like producing. You don't have to be performing. You don't have to act a certain way. You don't have to, because I'm sticking around. It's a covenant. It's bigger. And that's what God designed for safety, for security.
Yeah, I think in covenant it's more about me and God than...
I think you're holding the microphone the wrong way, sweetie. It's not designed the way you're holding it.
But I want to hold it like that.
Just because you want to hold it like that, it doesn't mean they can't hear you. Flip it around.
Hold on. So what are you telling me? There's only one right way of holding a microphone?
Yeah. I mean, you could hold it like this, like this. You could go gangster like this, you know. You can go like this so you don't catch air.
That takes the fun out of it. I don't want to do it like that. This is more fun for me.
But it doesn't. It's not going to. We cannot record your voice this way. People online cannot watch you, cannot see you.
You're being very judgmental right now. You're telling me that your way is right, and then that my way is
right. My way is right, woman. Turn the microphone around. Kidding.
So
we planned that, by the way.
You guys see how you know, somebody can say, well, why do I care, you know, what God says about sex? Why do I care about the, you know, this is, well, what if I'm okay with consumer's way? Well, that's not the right way. That's not what it was created for. That's not how you're going to enjoy it to the fullest. So yes, you can misuse it. Or like Pastor said, you can wash your dishes in your... washing machine, yeah. I mean, it kind of does the same thing, right? Water, soap.
But your clothes washing machine was not designed to wash dishes. Especially don't dry it in the dryer. Right? Because everything that was created has an intention, and everything God created has a purpose. Yeah. And sex has a purpose. And today we're going to talk about three purposes of sex just in a little bit here. But what happens when a person who is has a covenant view of sex meets a person who has a consumer view of sex? You know what happens? A person who has a covenant view gets exploited. Ladies, maybe you've been exploited. You were giving it all, but he was just there for feel good, get in, and get out type of a thing. And so what happens is abuse happens.
Wow.
Maybe, God forbid, you're in that type of a marriage. And maybe if you're a consumer in your marriage, and to some degree many guys are, we got to repent. Married guys, we got to repent. We got to say, hey, I'm not going to look at sex from consumer point of view, but through the serve one another point of view. Amen. So even we who are married, we need to repent today.
Wow.
Amen. If a consumer and a covenant person get together in a relationship, nothing good happens because the consumer will take advantage and will exploit the covenant person. Don't be unequally yoked. In a covenant relationship, you have a zone of safety and security. In the consumer, you're always advertising, you're always performing, you're always trying to be something you're not.
Right, and I feel like always upgrading.
Always auditioning, but never getting the part. Mm-hmm. It's like, really? My daughter, she last week, she went on auditions, and she actually won, and is going to nationals to LA.
She advanced,
okay. Not won, but going to nationals to LA in August. But she auditioned for one day. And next day at 3 p.m., they told her if she's going to make it or not.
Right.
Some people keep auditioning to be his wife, and it's never coming.
It's never coming, yeah.
Okay? And because he thinks that sex is better when he's single, it's not. And we're going to show you today, and statistically, sex, did you know that sex is better when you are married? Sex is more frequent when you are married. That's statistics. If you're a Christian, you're having better sex than non-Christian.
Amen.
Google it. Yeah. You don't believe me. I'm not going to give you those statistics. But Google it. It's true. So God knows something. This word is not there to put you in bondage. This word of God is not there to put a fence around your sex life, but to have you enjoy better sex life.
Yes, yes, yes. And we were told for a long time, we were given statistics and we were giving this advice that before you want to commit to marriage, you want to try. You want to try different people, see,
If
you're compatible and you had a theory about it.
Yeah, my theory is that if you're a guy, you're compatible with 99.9% of women in this world. So there are 7+ billion people in the world.
Sexually?
Let me just tell you, sexually, you're compatible with 99.9% of women in this world. Mm. So that's actually a lie that says, try it, what if you don't like it? Well, the parts are the same in every woman, and the parts are the same in every man. Mm-hmm. We're not talking exceptions, there's stuff there that's weird, but most is the same. So as a man, I'm compatible with a lot of women sexually.
Come on.
So you don't have to worry about being sexually compatible. Guys, remove this fear out of your life. What if we're not sexually compatible? You will be.
Sexually.
Now the stuff you do have to worry about, most guys don't even pay attention
come
to.
On,
are
on.
You relationally compatible?
Come on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, don't worry about it. As long as we're sexually, we're having great sex, that means we're going to work out good.
Okay.
No, you get married and you find out that she is not a goddess you thought she was. She stinks sometimes. She has bad makeup day. Her breath smells. His breath smells. He farts. And pure air farts, of course. That's what I do, but pure air only. Can't smell those.
TMI.
TMI. Your pastor does not do that. He's spiritual, okay? Doesn't even go to the bathroom, y'all. No, really. And definitely we don't have sex. No, we're pure. We're holy.
So anyway. Now they're coming up, same people, coming up with new studies and new articles, and now they're telling us, before they were telling us, use pornography in your marriage. It's going to help you out. Now they're saying, no, we were wrong. Stop. Don't do it. Don't use pornography. It's going to kill your sex drive. It's going to kill your sex life. And we're sitting here and like, wait a minute. We listen to you guys. We do what you tell us. For years we've been doing this. Young people have been into pornography. Now we have young people who have broken sexualities. And now you're telling us it's not good for us? So you were telling us that, try and live with different people, have a lot of sex as much as you can. It's good for you. It creates, you're more
excitement,
experience
fantasy,
and stuff like that. Now they're saying, no, don't do it. Actually, we were wrong. And so we're like, but we already have done it. And so we're here to say, guys, how about we stop looking and listening to them? How about we start listening to the word of God that was wrong, right? I'm sorry, right all along.
Amen.
If we were just listening, and there's going to be something new next year, and next year they're going to come up with something else. But I'm telling you, if you stick to the word of God, they will come back and say, actually, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Jesus said, a wise man built his house on a rock, and a fool built his house on the sand. What does that mean? Notice our society comes up with the new sand particles to build our life on. They say, try this way. Yep. Oh, it doesn't work. Yep. Don't do it God's way, because that's religion, but do it. And so our world has so many different philosophies on sex and relationships, but they're like as many as sand. Mm-hmm. God says, don't build on the sand. Yeah. Don't build on the philosophies of the world. Build it on the rock. That's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Right. Clap your hands, somebody. In a covenant, there's finally a zone of safety. So some people say we got to try it before we buy it, right? To really know what I'm getting. Listen, man, young man, you will never know what you're getting until you get married. Because before you commit to marriage, it's all advertisement.
Ouch.
It's a lot of marketing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, before they sell you something, they're like, it's good, look at this. And then you buy it and you're like, oh, so this is what it really is.
And we hear this all the time. In our premarital class, this is what we teach. And we'll have couples who've lived together for years, and they'll be like, oh no, we've been together for a long time. We already know each other. It doesn't apply to us. And we tell them, there's something.
Get ready.
It's going to change.
Get
as
ready,
soon as
get
you
ready,
get married, it's going to change. And then they, after the wedding, they come up to us a few months later, and they'll say, you were right. You were right. Something clicks. Something changes after the wedding. And you just, you become free. You stop acting. But with freedom, there's, okay, can you handle me when I'm all free and the real person with you?
So this is it. In a covenant, there's finally a zone of safety. You don't have to perform. You can stop marketing. You could stop selling. You could be yourself.
Doesn't that sound
before
amazing?
Before you get married, you can never truly, people are never truly themselves, right? Wow. So let me just tell you this. A covenant brings freedom when consumerism brings slavery. Mm. I'm free. I can sleep with anybody I want to. No, you're a slave. And here's how. In covenant, I could be myself. I don't have to perform. Meaning, we're not talking about sex here. You know what performance means? I'm trying to perform to show off in front of you. I don't have to show off in front of you anymore. The reason I'm doing what I'm doing is because I want to.
Yeah.
It's coming out of a different motive.
Yeah.
Before, in a consumer stage, I'm advertising. Here's the best of me. Here's the best of me. Here's who I am. Here's how I look. You can't see me like this. You can't see me like that. You get married, you start seeing your spouse in a bathroom too. And you're okay with that.
Oh boy.
Too much. TMI. Amen. So, in a covenant, in a marriage relationship, it brings freedom to be myself, to stop performing. And it's not dependent on how I feel. In the consumerism, it's all based on how I feel. I'm a slave to my feeling. If I feel good about you, I'm going to stay. If I don't feel good, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. So covenant, why God wants sex to be done in the covenant of marriage is because that's where sex is experienced to the fullest. Why does God want sex to be in a covenant relationship? Because sex is only experienced in a covenant relationship to the fullest. Listen, young people, and those who are not married, you haven't experienced sex till you experience when you're totally free.
Yeah.
See, when physical sex is, you know how people say, it's just sex.
Mm-mm.
That's just your experience, a part of it. Makes you guilty at the end. Makes you feel lonely. Something is missing because sex was not only meant to be physical.
This is what happens in man. Do you guys know this theory of imprint? So there's some birds that when they are hatched, what the first thing they see is their mama, right? So they're like, if they see, you know, a goose, I don't know what kind of birds do that exactly, but you know, if they see a person, they'll be running after the person, you know, mama, 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 and so it's that imprint, the first thing they see. And so when a young man goes and has sexual relationship before, you know, it's in the right stage of marriage, he puts that imprint on the wrong thing. So it's orgasm. It's not even orgasm. It's just, you know, chemical reaction. And he was like, instead of imprinting his wife, that person that he just had intimacy with, when he's experiencing orgasm, all he's experiencing is the physical of it, and so it imprints into his mind. That's what sex is all about. And so that's why it's so easy for man to run around and not so much, he doesn't want to marry you. He doesn't want to marry a girl. He just wants that feeling of experiencing that.
Because it feels good.
It feels good. And now it's imprinted, so for him that's normal.
That's all he associates it with, is just that. But sex is so much bigger.
And then women, on the other hand, their imprint comes right after. And so when she doesn't experience that oneness, that commitment, she's left empty. And so that makes her looking for more. And so that's why you see women go from man to man to man, because she's looking for that imprint. Where is that more? Where is that meaning of the sexual act that just happened and it was supposed to
fulfill me? Because what I just experienced is not enough.
No. Yeah, so I'm going to another one. Maybe that one is the one.
Like a Samaritan woman at the well. Yeah, amen. Pretty good. Pretty good stuff. So sex is designed for marriage, and it's meant to be experienced fully, not just a part of it. Okay?
Yeah.
A car is meant to have four wheels. Okay? An engine and transmission, not just the engine or transmission, yeah. And that's it. That's not a car. Same with our physical, how God created us. We were to experience fully. Reminds me of Samson and Delilah's story. Samson was using her for sex. She was using him for fame. They never truly gave to one another, and they ended up both destroying one another. She destroyed him by selling him out, and his eyes got gouged out, and probably he destroyed her 3 years later or so when he knocked down the temple where she was there. Most likely she was probably present. So they destroyed one another because they never gave fully. He was just there for sex, that's it. And she was there for fame, and that was it.
Wow.
Okay? And they destroyed one another. Sex is meant for a covenant. And that's why Jesus says, don't go out of the covenant to get it.
And maybe that is why we have so many broken relationships and broken marriages these days, is because we do practice relationships that are consumer mindset.
Yeah.
And so we make sure that we like the product. We're always looking for upgrade. We get married. We don't come into covenant. Nothing has clicked. Nothing has changed. We came into this relationship with consumer. Well, you stopped making me happy. You're not doing your part anymore. So,
or if you're into pornography, you're always comparing to something that's not realistic even. Something that's airbrushed, something that's made up, Photoshop. Mm-hmm. And so you're comparing your wife, and your wife will never... aligned to your fantasies, dudes. So that's why God says, why even have all that? Why always be unhappy with your wife by looking everywhere else, where God says you could fully enjoy it in marriage? I found out that Christians' marriages, 85 or 86% of Christian marriages say they love their sex life.
Amen.
Those who do it God's way. And the numbers are much lower, especially those who are not Christian and those who are not having that covenant. It's way lower.
Yeah. Come on, that's good.
A woman tells, I felt like I was in a multi-year, never-ending addition to be his wife. That's not what God wanted for you. God didn't want you to put 3, 4, 5, in our culture right now, 6 years of your life on hold. Addition. And then, man, watch what happens. You finally marry her. She's been additioning. She's been hating you for 5 years secretly inside because she's been additioning. And nobody likes people who drag them through addition process too long.
Yeah.
Okay, now she's like, oh, now we're married? Oh, I'll show you. Now I'll control the cookie. All right, buddy? And so you're like, what happened? What happened? We used to have so much sex. She would give it to me anytime I wanted to. But now we got married. Now she's paying you back. Because you've been abusing her.
Wow.
That's an abuse.
A lot of light bulbs just went up.
And listen, I love you. And some of you are like, man, he's hard on me. I love you guys, and I want what's best for you. As your pastor, I don't want to just sweep this issue under the rug because I know how big of a part it plays for you Monday through Friday, through Saturday.
Yeah.
And twice on Sundays. Okay. Sex is a big issue, big deal.
Yeah. Come on. It's good.
Now, number two, what Jesus says in that scripture we read in the beginning. He says sex is exclusive. It's not inclusive. It's not you and somebody else. It's exclusive between you and your spouse. Let's open Bible to Proverbs chapter 5, verse 15 through 19. Listen to what it says. Drink water from your own well. That's poetic language. Share your love only with your wife. It's talking about sex here. Why spill the water of your springs in the streets having sex with just anyone? Next, come on. 17. Thank you. You should reserve it for yourselves, never sharing it with a stranger. Verse 18. Let your wife be the fountain of your blessing for you. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. Let your wife, next, 19. She's a loving deer, graceful doe. Oh, she's hot. That's it. And this is the Bible. I know it might make you feel uncomfortable, but that's okay. It's the Bible. Let her breast satisfy you always. See, the world says sex and marriage is boring. No, Bible says...
Do it always. Do it always.
It's not just to have babies. It's to also for pleasure. May you always be captivated by her love. So sex is meant to be exclusive. It's just between you and your spouse. And I would like to say, third thing is Jesus. Yeah. I remember a story about Jesus talking to a woman at the well, Samaritan woman. How many of you remember that story? He's walking by, he's tired, he wants a drink. He asks this woman, hey, give me a drink. And she's like, why are you hitting on me? That's what she probably thought. She was probably a pretty woman. She had multiple husbands. And Jesus said, listen, I could give you water that you will never thirst. And he's not talking about water here. He's talking what water represents, a quenching of a thirst, satisfaction.
Yeah.
Okay, he says, I'm going to give you satisfaction that you're looking for, but he says it in a language of words, so poetic. So he says, I'll give you water that you'll never thirst again. And she says, sir, give me that water. I'm tired of coming here drawing water from the well. And he says to her, watch this. He changes the subject, what it seems like, but he doesn't. He says, go get your husband. And it's like, Jesus, that doesn't make any sense. We're talking about water, and you say, go get your husband.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Let me give you a little clue and a secret. You know, because her satisfaction was tied to men.
Wow.
The reason he points to that issue, because her satisfaction that she was looking for, her fulfillment, was attached to men. She thought she could find it in them, in the men. And she said, I don't have a husband. And Jesus, knowing her, because he's God, says, I know you have had five husbands and the one you're living with now is not your husband. Mm-hmm. Did you know that that woman, that promiscuous woman, was actually one of the greatest evangelists in the Bible, in the New Testament?
Yeah.
And so what Jesus is saying, what you're looking for in man, only I can fulfill.
Yeah.
Some of you are married and maybe you've committed adultery because you're like, my marriage is not satisfying.
Come on.
Even your marriage is not able to satisfy you because what Jesus was talking about, when I can give you water that you will never thirst again.
Yeah.
So that's why I said it takes husband, wife, and
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you're not fulfilled. Maybe you're like, maybe I can cheat on my wife and have an affair with somebody else. Then I'll be satisfied. And she's tried it and it didn't satisfy her. And it took Jesus.
Yeah.
And she actually goes to the city, evangelizes people, tells them about Jesus. And Jesus spends 3 days and the whole city comes to believe in him.
Wow.
To a Samaritan woman. So can God use you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if you think sex is going to satisfy all your needs, you're mistaken. You're wrong. It's Jesus with your spouse. Yeah, that's where I said it's a holy threesome.
Threesome. No, it threesome. Makes sense.
So sex is meant to be exclusive. I've heard men say, she's such a damsel in distress. She's so lonely. I wanna help her. I have compassion. I'm so compassionate.
Oh boy.
Listen, and I wanna say to you, man, if you're married, you are not meant to fulfill marital needs of a person you are not married to. Let me say it again. Write this down. You were never meant to fulfill the marital needs of a person you are not married to. Throw the compassion here out of the window, okay? Just let God do his job and fulfill that person's need at that time. You focus on your own spouse. You focus on meeting the need of your wife or your husband. Amen?
Or sometimes I feel like as women, you know, women can feel that I better fulfill my boyfriend's need or this man's need, or I'm going to be alone. I'm going to be lonely. And if that's the truth, ladies, would you rather be with somebody who really doesn't want you? They're just keeping you for the need. And if they could put it into words, this is how they would say it. You're not marriage material. I really don't want to marry you. Just give me sex. If those words came out of his mouth, you would say no. That I respect myself more than that. And yet a lot of women live with that. In that situation, he is not proposing, he is not committing, but you keep him, you know,
never ending audition
yeah.
to be his wife. And God says, that's not the way to live. I have something better for you. He said, if you're not married, let me be your husband. That's what God says.
Ooh,
when you're
good.
Not married, let me be your fulfillment. If you're married, invite me into your relationship. Yeah. I don't want to just be involved in your finances. You know, we Christians are like, God, you could be involved in my finances and bless it. God says, I want to be involved in your sex life too.
Yes.
So
yes.
Remember, Bible says, whatever you do, finances, fun, sex, do it for the glory of God. Do it for the glory of God. And remember, Bible says, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in it. So every time you're having sex, Holy Spirit is there. God is there. God is there.
Amen.
And in the marriage, he makes that relationship fulfilled. Outside of marriage, he resists it. You see, God is always there.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a Christian.
Yeah.
Except if he is in between people who are not doing it his way, he resists it. That's why there's emptiness.
Yeah.
That's why there's depression. That's why when it comes, you know, unfulfillment, especially women, they're like, what was that?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Amen. Today we want to pray for you. And we want to end this message. We're not done with our subject, but we have to quit early. Because we want you guys to go for lunch.
Yeah. You might be sitting here and you're saying, this is too much. This is too hard. I don't know if this is possible in our day and in our culture. And yes, God is asking of us some hard things. He says, be holy because I'm holy. And I mean, that's impossible, God. I can't do that. And yet, you're not supposed to do it alone. We're not living this life alone. We're not becoming like Jesus alone. And so today we just want to pray for you, for that grace, for that power, to be holy, just like your daddy, just like your father, God, is holy. And you can, but you're not going to do it alone.
Amen. So we want to pray. If you could close your eyes and bow your head. Father, we've talked on some serious, deep, personal issues today. And we know that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I know Satan will try to use this message to condemn people and draw you people farther from God. But Father, you want to use this message to draw people closer to you.
Yes.
So I pray this message is a benefit to your people.
Yes.
And maybe we are maybe not ready to take all the steps yet, God, but at least we know the truth. And once we know the truth and allow it to come and be a part of our DNA, our spiritual DNA, we can't help but act it out. So I pray that you change our mind, our hearts on the inside. Change our spiritual DNA. Let this word be the light unto a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let this word go deep inside, God, into the bone and marrow, God, into our spirit man, God, and change us and transform us from the inside out, God. So, because then it's not hard to do, God. Then it's not hard to obey your word, God, because it's coming from inside. That's who we are, is your word, God. I pray you bless our marriages, God. I pray you bless those who are single right now and looking for a spouse, God. I pray that you bring that right person into their life, God. I pray, God, that you would just help them be in the right place at the right time, God. I pray that they would be full of life, God, so they are able to recognize and see the gift that you're sending their way, God. And that we would trust you, that the Bible is your word and it's the truth. And so we thank you for what you did this morning in our services. And thank you for changing us and transforming us, renewing our minds into your image, into the image of Jesus. We pray and thank you, God.